My guest in the studio today is Lance Rubin, who's originally from Joburg and today resides in Australia. Lance, it's in Melbourne, right?
That's right.
And I should know because he's not just a global financing modeling expert, but he happens to be my first cousin. Sorry, Lance. I'm sorry. I had to put that in, okay? And it's such a pleasure having him back in South Africa. Now, he's helped both small and medium-sized enterprises and large organizations rethink how they forecast, budget, and manage costs using next-generation tools. Lance shares insights on game-changing approaches to modern financial and management reporting. And today, he and I will be looking at how these innovations are reshaping the way businesses plan for the future. Lance Rubin, the CEO and founder of Model Citizen and Chief Excel Officer, EXL Cloud. Lance, welcome again. It's really nice having you back. How's South Africa treating you?
Thanks, cuz. It's good. I mean, I think it's been quite a while. Been 6 years since I last came to South Africa. It's 24 years since I left Australia. I left South Africa for Australia. So in 24 years, a lot has changed, but a lot has stayed the same. It's great to see family and friends. And look, I do miss the country. It's still in my heart and my blood, particularly the Springboks with rugby. You know, it's hard to support the Wallabies.
Are you saying heart? I mean, that's not a South African accent. You're getting an Australian accent.
I think I've got one. I think I've got a mix. although many Aussies will say I've got a South African accent. Still very hard South African accent, but kind of bit of both.
Well, it's really good having you in town. If we chat now about the topic at hand, can you start off by explaining what scalable financial modeling is and why it's becoming so important in today's business environment?
Great question. Let's start with financial modeling first, and then I'll add on the scalability. So financial modeling is a discipline where you look forward as opposed to looking back. I was qualified as a chartered accountant. Everything we learned in accounting was always about, you know, P&Ls, balance sheets, cash flows, and always most of the time looking back, making sure that we're compliant, we're preparing our financial statements, everything gets audited. It's very rigid, like very robust and very rigid in terms of the rules and what you're doing. And it's binary. It's either right or it's wrong. There's not like a maybe. There's some grayness in some accounting standards, but largely deterministic. When you're looking forward into the future, suddenly it becomes probabilistic, right? And stochastic. So this is where you start to look at different scenarios, different decisions that are made between customers and executives. And so financial modeling is a construct of how you represent that future in a mostly Excel workbook called a financial model. And those are very manual often. People are building them from scratch. So scalable financial modeling is how do you build that at scale across multiple organizations, multiple clients, and how do you support small businesses who don't have a CFO? They can't afford a CFO. They have a bookkeeper. They might have an accountant to do their tax return, but they really need a business partner or a co-pilot, not in the AI sense of co-pilot, but just someone to help and navigate the future, which is just so uncertain. So in today's world, you can't say that things are easy and well understood. They are very volatile. We've got lots of moving parts. And running a small business is very difficult and very complex, and cash flow is often a challenge. So when you're starting to embrace financial modeling, you can look at different aspects of your cash and your business performance with scenarios. And that's where financial modeling comes into play.
And talking about small and let's even say medium-sized businesses, from your perspective, what are the biggest challenges they face when trying to build strong financial modeling?
The first thing is cost. Right, they just don't have the extra bandwidth or the financing skills in-house. Like I said, they have to have a bookkeeper to just get some books and records done. They have to lodge tax returns, so they may have an accountant. But they don't have the financial means to hire a CFO or to hire someone who has that financial acumen, the business acumen, which kind of merges between accounting, finance, and business to really help them understand their business and make better business decisions. Now, financial information is an outcome of business decisions. And often business owners are not financially literate. So that's their biggest challenge, the lack of financial literacy and then lack of a budget to hire someone. So I actually provide fractional CFO services, which I like to call data-driven CFO services, for small businesses that, you know, we then provide the service on a monthly basis. There may be a couple of hours of meetings, or it may be a few hours a month, depending on what their needs are. So we are able to give them a service that doesn't require a full-time CFO in a way that actually makes sense for them. And we do that through things like financial modeling, data analysis, and of course, using exciting tools in the market around AI, which is obviously hot topics.
Which is exactly what I wanted to ask you next. You can see we related. We think exactly the same. Can AI play the role of a CFO? And at the same time, can AI play the role of a bookkeeper and accountant?
It's very interesting when you say play the role of. I think it can play aspects of the tasks related to those roles. Both CFO tasks and bookkeeping tasks can definitely be played by AI. But AI is not yet capable, let's hope for not to, you know, not in the too distant future, to understand context, to understand emotions, to understand, you know, certain things, decisions are made based on, you know, how the business is trying to navigate certain elements. So I think you have to find a situation where it's augmented with AI as opposed to just AI, because we know that AI hallucinates. As you and I discussed, sadly, AI is going to give you the answer that you want, not necessarily the answer that you need to hear. So you've got to be very careful with that.
Can you explain that to listeners? What I understand you, because we sat on Friday night dinner talking about it for an hour. But in a couple of, you know, sentences, what do you mean when you say AI hallucinates?
So it's very well known that AI models, or LLMs, or large language models, these are statistical models that use language to understand context and farm information to give you results. So hallucination happens when the data is not there or when there's not enough information. And so the AI still wants to give you an answer. So it gives you the answer based on what it thinks. And that's what a hallucination is. It's not actually grounded in data. And that's where you've got to be careful. That's why you need to have a CFO who says, okay, well, the AI is saying this, but I actually don't believe it. And then you actually challenge the AI. So there's a bit of a back and forth. And that's how you get to leverage these tools.
And would you say the same for a bookkeeper and accountant, that at the end of the day, you still need a bookkeeper, a human person, or a human eyes, I guess, to look over what AI has contributed to the bookkeeping and accountancy? Or do you think AI will one day reach a level that we won't need bookkeepers, accountants, and potentially we won't even need CFOs?
I think you're going to get to a point potentially in a while yet where those roles may not be needed to the extent that they need it today. So I think you'll definitely have some element of compliance. And what I said recently on my workshop today is, you know, you can outsource tasks to AI, you can't outsource responsibility. So until someone trusts the AI to such a degree that they trust in their accountant or their bookkeeper, I don't think you're going to get there. And I think there's going to be regulations. They're going to say, how are you positive that there's not hallucinations in it? Right now, we've got lots of hallucinations. So I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon, maybe down the track. But you also got data privacy. You've got a whole lot of other challenges that the world hasn't solved yet with AI. So I think we might get there to some degree, but I still feel that humans are very much needed inside. Don't worry about the AI. Worry about the human that knows how to leverage the AI, because that's the threat, not AI on its own. So you've got to understand it and embrace it.
Lance, you're an expert also in AI, although it's changing all the time. What different types of AI, or I don't know if I framed that properly, but which AIs would you recommend, which are good for what?
So I use 5 different LLMs, Grok, which is XAI, Anthropic, which is another form. There's ChatGPT. Everyone knows ChatGPT because it kind of was the leader, was the first in the market, although AI has been around for a very, very long time. There's Gemini, which is Google's, and then there's Copilot, which is Microsoft's. And you've got a range of other things, Midjourney for visual AI, and you've got all these AI video creation tools and all the rest. So each of them have their nuances and benefits. You've got to be careful which way they're leaning. And I know that sounds weird, but AI can lean with certain biases to certain directions. And so I find Anthropic, which is Claude's the name of the AI tool. Anthropic is the company that created it. It's very good at technical accounting work. It's very good at Excel work. So I tend to use that more. I use Grok more so because I find it a bit more center-right as opposed to left like Gemini and ChatGPT. And I think, again, if you're going to use these tools, understand where their biases are, where their strengths are and their weaknesses. Gemini recently read my handwritten notes and created it with perfection compared to all the others. So Gemini actually surprised me in its ability to read my doctor type handwriting. I'm an accountant, but I can still write pretty badly. But it was able to actually understand that and convert that into text. So it's about playing and understanding these different tools. And I wouldn't call myself an AI expert. I'd call myself a financial modeling expert with the ability to leverage AI and understand these tools and play with them. AI is such a wide-ranging skill set, and you know, it's exciting, but at the same time, you've got to be careful with what you're using.
Beyond adopting new technologies like AI, what changes in mindset or company culture do you think are needed for finance teams to get the most out of AI and modern modeling techniques?
There's a huge change in mindset. I think people need to be not afraid of the tool and the technology. A lot of people are, because they're worried, to your point, that my job's going to leave. If you don't adopt these tools, and if you don't, that's more of a risk. So sticking your head in the sand, saying I'm not doing it, and taking a fixed mindset, I think that will eventually result in disruption for those people that are not willing to embrace it. Those that are willing to embrace it will get lots of benefit through time savings, through learning and developing and enhancing their skills, their prompting skills, their ways to learn and develop these. So organizations need to support their teams. They need to clearly articulate, if we're going to use these tools, what's going to happen, what is going to change, and how's my job secure? Because I think that's important. If you don't give that to people, people are just going to resist the change.
Last question. For a business that wants to start improving its financial reporting tomorrow, what's the first practical step that you'd recommend?
Get some management reporting, get a budget, compare your actuals to budget on an annual basis. That's a very good place to start. Most organizations don't even have a budget. So what do you think you're going to do for the year? Don't get into all this complex modeling and scenarios and AI and everything else. Just get the basics right. And I think if you just start there, then you can grow and develop over time.
Lance Rubin, CEO and founder, Model Citizen and Chief Excel Officer, EXL Cloud. Thanks for sharing your expertise. It's clear from what you say that modern financial modeling and AI-driven tools are not just about keeping up with technology. They're about mindset, and they're also about empowering businesses. And for more information, you can contact Lance at Model Citizen, which is spelt as one word, M-O-D-E-L, and Citizen is C-I-T-I-Z-N, so it's without the E, .com, or the website Model Citizen, C-I-T-I-Z-N, without the E, .com. Kaz, I look forward to having you back in the studio sooner than another 6 years' time.
Yes, thanks, Paula, and great to chat to your listeners, and thanks for having me.